views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women on this beautiful, still summer day. It's still summer. It's warm in Seattle. I hope you're having, great summer where you are. And how many of you got to saw the eclipse? Oh, my God. I went down with my husband down to Oregon to Salem, and it was probably the most awe-inspiring thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was just, you can't even describe it. And so I'm still reeling from that. Just absolutely beautiful seeing the sun and the moon and this eclipse. And so, check out pictures. And if you get a chance to go to one another time, take that opportunity. So today I'm going to talk with Danielle Dulski. She's the author of Woman Most Wild, Three Keys to Liberating the Witch Within. Danielle is an artist, yoga teacher, energy worker, and founder of Living Mandala Yoga Teacher training programs. She leads woman circles, witchcraft workshops, and energy healing trainings. She lives in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. And you can find her online at livingmandalayoga.com. So welcome, Danielle.
Thank you, Chris. Very happy to be here.
Well, tell us about yourself and your journey. How did you begin this journey to get where you are now?
So I always wish I had some sort of epic event or epiphany, but I didn't. It was kind of a slow progression from being raised pretty evangelical Christian and then being introduced to yoga during my teenage years and being told for the first time that the divine was in me and that the body was something that could be spiritually valuable and not something to be completely ignored. So my big awakening didn't come until I was around 18 or 19, and I lived in Ireland, and I had kind of an experience of the way they perceive the divine feminine or the pagan energy there on the western side of Ireland. And then I came back and I kept getting more and more into the craft. And when I was 25, I gave birth to my first son, and I had this kind of conviction. I felt this very strong conviction that if I wanted him to be as authentic as possible, I needed to be as authentic as possible. So I felt that I had to stop hiding this huge part of me. And so my big coming out as a witch happened then when I was 25.
I would love for you to share, what did it look like to come out as a witch?
So at that point I had moved away from my family. So it wasn't as difficult as it might have been, only a few years prior to that. So I was living in Florida. But it was still challenging. I was a young mother living in a pretty conservative area. But at that point I didn't care. So I was kind of looking for community, and that was a point in my life when I really started to fall prey to what I would call spiritual predators. So I think that happens with women a lot when they come to a new spiritual path. They are kind of still looking for somebody to tell them that they're being a good girl. and so that's what happened to me. So very early on in my coming out, I was part of a coven that was really a negative experience for me. So when I emerged from that and I was trying to heal from that, I decided that I was going to completely hide again and run screaming back into the broom closet and not tell anybody who I was. And then I moved away from that place because the wounding had been so great. And I, you know, my hiding kind of lasted for about 5 minutes when I moved back to Pennsylvania, and I immediately found an amazing community that's very supportive. And I've been here ever since.
Yeah, that's great. I've heard stories like that before, too. And so you have to, you know, discern when you join a group, what is going on here for yourself? You know, what is it serving you? Is it empowering you? And all those questions, I'm sure your book probably helps people with that. So let's get to the basics of this, of just even defining the word witch, because there's so much connotations without the word about being bad and evil. And I remember when we started Women of Wisdom way back in 93, that word would elicit a visceral feeling in my body, you know, and I'm sure it's cellular memory of the times when we were burned or whatever, but it was just kind of like, oh, we can't say that word, or, you know, I had to work through that.
Yeah. And I think that's still a very real barrier for a lot of women. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of women, and I work with a lot of women who are essentially practicing witchcraft every day, sometimes really hardcore witchcraft every day, and yet they still won't call themselves witches, which is fine. But it comes back to that indoctrination from fairy tales and Bible stories and all of that from when we were younger. So what I usually say is, if you have that kind of visceral gut reaction to the word witch, to see if you can trace that belief back and see how far you can go. Because when you go back far enough, you realize that that belief isn't yours. It was something that was given to you. And that's kind of the beginning of the getting past it. But a witch really is anyone who practices witchcraft, number one, and then has claimed the name witch for their own. So rather than, you know, have it be given to you, because you were talking about empowerment and the importance of feeling empowered. So it isn't, you know, looking for a high priest or a high priestess to give you the name witch. It's, do you really claim it as your own? Do you believe that you are a witch, whether you're telling other people that you are or not? And then do you practice witchcraft? And that's kind of the two conditions.
Well, and what does that mean to be a witch then? How do you define that?
Mm-hmm. So practicing witchcraft is something that cycles. So, you know, right now we're moving into autumn. So if you live in a place where there's the change of seasons, then witchcraft is very much about these rituals of communing with ancestors and letting go and this kind of great purge. And it's opposite of what witchcraft would look like in spring or summer, where it's more about fruition and sensuality and emotional integrity and all of that. So it does cycle, but it's a practice that works with spellcraft, so casting spells, moving energy, and then also rituals, meaning honoring these different transitions in our lives as holy, and looking at the body and the emotions as being holy. And then an important and final piece is that the witch is an activist. So the witch isn't someone who stays quiet any longer, really. She really believes in healing for the earth and social change and social justice and all of that. So she's, you know, she's getting louder. I'm calling this the year of the witch because it really seems like there's a lot of witches coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, and they may not be calling themselves witch, but they're, you know, becoming active. Well, you also mentioned a word that's kind of, you know, like casting spells also has that connotation of like, ooh, scary, you know, because you think of the evil spells. You know, it still is projected in movies, and, you know, calling witch it's always a negative thing. I see it even in current movies still. And so what is really casting a spell?
Yeah, so spell casting really works with these two ideas of intention and then raising energy in order to direct it toward that intention. And you know, we're talking about empowerment again. In order to cast a spell effectively, you really have to believe that you have the right to do it. You have to believe that you have the right to affect change in your world. And so that's the important piece, is if you're coming from a spiritual path that was more disempowering, or if you're, you know, even in a coven or a spiritual community that's disempowering, then you won't have that important piece, that autonomy, that agency, where you really believe you have the right to do it. So if I'm casting a spell, for instance, that's like a let's say a manifestation spell for personal prosperity, just because that's the easiest one to describe. So I'm going to have that laser focused intention of what I want, like an actual number or what I'm looking for. And then I'm going to raise energy, which you can do through chanting, you can do it through writing, dancing, movement, alchemy, all of these different ways to raise that energy. And then you direct it toward that thing, really by holding this really strong mental focus. And then you have to let it go. So that's the third, final, and often most challenging piece of spellcasting, is after you've done the work, you have to let it go, meaning the magic has been done and you can't return to it every day until you get your wish.
You kind of have to let it go too. Like, it's going to come to you at in maybe different forms, and you can't hold on to expectations of what it's going to be.
Right, exactly.
Well,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, that's the other important piece too, is it's the intention that's the important focus. So a lot of times we get blocked by worrying about, like, how is this going to happen and what resources and, like, what's my first step and all of that. And in the container that is the spell, you can't let all of that block you, because it limits the ways that the universe can rise to support you. You just have to have that, like, ultimate vision in the spell casting. And that doesn't mean, like, if you're trying to buy a house, that you don't call the realtors and all of that. You still do that, but you don't do it within the container of the spell itself. You do that later.
Great. Well, it's all good information. And do you have some of this in your book of, like, is there parts of your book that you talk about actually give them a formula for casting a spell?
There's the whole second part, which is Wild Ritual, talks about spell casting, different types of spells, and how to do it.
Great. Yeah. And we're going to get into that in one of our segments. We'll have Danielle share some of that with us. I read some that were found, you know, pretty important and good for us to hear on the show. So we'll come back and talk more with Danielle Dolsky in a moment.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff. angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Danielle Dulski today. She's the author of Woman Most Wild. I think, Danielle, what was drew me to, I think someone sent me your book, and I contacted your publisher, and it was the title. You know, there's something about wild woman that just draws women, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's talk about this wild woman spirituality, because that's an aspect of your book, too. What does that mean for you? We work here in Woman Wisdom and Woman Spirituality, which isn't a Wiccan path. It's sort of more of a larger umbrella of including anything that women are interested in. I think spirituality is anything women are interested in. But I'd love for you to share how that relates to being a witch and how you bring in the woman's spirituality.
Yeah. So we, just like we have that kind of weird visceral reaction to the word witch, we do have all of these kind of negative connotations about the word wild also, like it's somehow out of control or unpredictable, or something like that. So really what wild spirituality is it's a cyclical spirituality. So it does change. So it is a little bit unpredictable in that way. But it's wild as in nature's wild. And it's all of those kind of soul-based traits, meaning like passions and wounds and body and all of that, that all of that is kind of woven into your spiritual practice, also sexuality. So you're not divorcing those parts of you that make you uniquely you from your spiritual practice. So that's what wild spirituality is to me. And then an important piece of that is because it's so connected to nature, there is this importance, this value of environmental consciousness, which I think it is what binds witchcraft to wild spirituality. I think that you can follow a wild spiritual path and not necessarily be a witch, but there is this, you know, belief that nature is holy, this communion with nature, this desire to stand up and rally for the earth and for nature. That's kind of a common component between witchcraft and wild spirituality.
Yes, and paganism. I mean, that's all based on earth spirituality, and don't we need that now? You know, our earth is needs healing, and so bringing this, you know, it's kind of our ancient I don't know the word I want, lineage of all of us, even, you know, coming from our European roots, if you go back far enough, has those roots in their religions, you know, pre-Christianity or even during Christianity in the first years. So it's kind of coming back, and even if it's, you know, it doesn't have to be a Wiccan path, as you said, it can just be, you know, like earth spirituality. Well, let's get into, because your book, you talk about three keys to liberating the witch within. So what are they and why are they important?
Okay, so the first key is wild rhythm. And so wild rhythm is, you know, depending on where you live, looking at nature cycles, wherever that is. So when I lived in Florida, it was basically two seasons per year. Now I'm back in Pennsylvania and it's four seasons. So just looking at where you are and how nature cycles where you are, and then looking at the way those cycles affect you personally. And the reason why that's important is because we tend to we tend to feel really disempowered when, for instance, we always get depressed in late winter or in fall on the first cold day or something like that. And if you really start to trace your cycles according to the wheel of the year, you'll find that there's really common and predictable patterns. And when you know those, it's so much more empowering to realize that you're not crazy. And then as women, the same thing happens, you know, bleeding women every month, if you can trace your cycle and how you feel on even just like a single day, you know, write that down and kind of start to trace these patterns and then honor those. So the reason why that's important in witchcraft is then honor that with ritual. So wild ritual is the second key. And in the wild ritual section, I talk about spellcraft and ritual and how to essentially view magic as the conversation you're having with the world. So whenever you cast a spell, whenever you have some sort of a ritual, whether it's just for yourself or for others, it's you saying, you know, these are the values that I believe in. This is the kind of world that I want the children of the future to live in. So your magic should always embody that. And then in that way, it's always ethical. And in that way, it's always authentic. So when you know your wild rhythms, then your wild ritual is that much more authentically you and well-purposed. And then the third and final key is wild circle. And so that's the piece that that's a little bit more controversial because, you know, it's not that you're less witch if you're a solitary practitioner who only casts spells in her living room. I was that for many years and then I wasn't again and then I was again. So it is something that can kind of cycle, like your craving for sacred solitude is important also. But when you're with a community of people that are really seeing you and letting you be heard, and you're able to speak about your spiritual path, your witchcraft, alongside very mundane things like, you know, taking the kids to the doctor or whatever it is you have to do, going to work, it makes it more well integrated into the everyday. And it doesn't just feel like your witchcraft is this like additional layer that you're like, you know, putting on top of the rest of your life, or you're like keeping in the closet or whatever and just bringing it out when you want to. When you really have a community, even if it's a community that just meets once per season, it makes your voice seem important. It empowers your agency that's so important for spell casting. It really is an important piece that that I feel we do need, even if the spaces between our circles are very few and far between.
Well, yeah, I work in circles here, and it's important to connect with and be in community and just witness everybody and support each other. Women need that more and more. I know there's a lot of times we feel isolated, and we're so busy in our life that to take the time to be with a circle of like-minded women, whether it's, you know, whether it's a Wiccan group or it's another kind of spiritual group that you're coming together to share who you are. And it strengthens you too. You get validation. And then when you go out there in the world on your own, you have that strength of the woman behind you. It's like you feel them holding your back.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And we absolutely do need that now more than ever.
So how about the question for some people who might wonder, you know, can I be a witch and also be religious? Mm-hmm. And that blend.
Yeah. I think that they can. I've seen them blend beautifully. It's you know, witchcraft is a very personal practice that it doesn't have to be a religion. You know, Wicca is really the religion of witchcraft. So for me, there is and has always been a difference between Wicca and witchcraft. Witchcraft is more of a practice. It is a spiritual practice, but it's more of a practice. So you don't have to necessarily work with deity in order to work your witchcraft. You don't have to necessarily, you know, believe in deity apart from, you know, a higher power. So if you're able to reconcile that with whatever the religion is that you're working with, and if that religion, importantly, doesn't disempower you enough that you can't work your witchcraft, which is difficult, and it has been difficult for me, certainly, I was raised born again Christian and I went to a born again Christian school and church twice a week. And for me, in my head, I can't understand how I could possibly reconcile the religion I was raised in that was very disempowering with my witchcraft. Now, I'm not saying that there's other people that can't do that wonderfully, but for me, I can't see how that would happen. So if you feel empowered by a religion as you feel empowered by witchcraft, and you don't feel that those two are kind of clashing against each other, absolutely, I feel like they can coexist in a spiritual practice, for sure.
Yeah, I know somebody who does do that, and but it's personal. You got to feel like you're welcome in both communities, that you can be there authentically. I think that's the word, you know, that it's right. Being authentic in your life. And so I would love for you to, and because we'll go more into it in the next segment, but in starting out, what do you suggest for women to do to start to bring a Wiccan practice or to bring a ritual into their lives?
Yeah, so the first thing that I always tell women or anyone, regardless of gender, to do if they're kind of feeling drawn to witchcraft is to go back into your memories, particularly from childhood, and find the moments, like actually take an inventory of the moments when you really felt like you were the most you, those moments when you felt like your body, mind, and spirit were really yoked together, engaged in the same action. So for some people, that's gardening or dancing, or watching the sunrise or something, or writing, doing some kind of creative work. But look at those times when you felt like you were the most you could possibly be, from childhood all the way up to now, and then trace the patterns. And if you have patterns of feeling drawn to nature or having this sense of mystery or magic, then yes, absolutely, that's the first step. Like, that's the first step in figuring out how the craft can be authentically yours. If you know, you've always felt the most you around fire, you've always felt the most you when you were writing, right? Because writing can be a big part of spellcraft. So it's finding those parts that are really soul-based, because they will then form the foundation for your craft. And it's a foundation that'll feel more meaningful than any one that could be given to you from somebody else.
That's great advice. It comes up a lot, even not even, you know, talking about Wiccan, but for women to start going off in a new path or whatever is take a look at, what do you feel passionate about? And what did you feel passionate when you were a child? I think that's a key thing, because that's when you have that innocence and that wonder about life. And, you know, whether it was gardening or nature, like you say, or anything like that, that empowers that. That's a great place to start. Well, great. Well, we're going to take a break and we'll come back and talk more with Daniel Dusky. And we will be talking about more about how to clear energy in your home.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, and low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
You know that feeling in your gut, that tiny whisper in the back of your ear, the tinge behind your knee that says, let's go for it. But then your mind says, that's ridiculous. Do you ever wonder if that little voice might be onto something? My name is Audrey Michelle. I'm the host of Rewired Life Radio, as well as a spiritual growth coach. If you're ready to stop letting fear lead you around, let's talk. If you're at the point in your life where you're ready to shed layers of what you thought you were supposed to be and are ready to take the next step to trust your best resource, let's talk. I can help you discover the voice of inner wisdom. I will guide you through a process to unearth your best self. To learn more, go to audreymichelle.com/coaching. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/coaching.
Are you struggling in a relationship and deeply craving some tools and support to get things back on track? Do you crave having a loving, compassionate relationship with Mr. Right, but always seem to pick Mr. Wrong? Well, Sarah Luce can help. She's created a 4-week online course starting September 28th that will teach you how to shift your energy and behavior to have new transformative outcomes. And you're going to get a personal one-on-one session with Sarah to ensure you get powerful personal results. Sign up today at saraluce.com.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and today we're talking about Woman Most Wild by the author Danielle Dolsky. So Danielle, please share your website and where people can find out about your book and more of the work that you do.
So my website's just danielledolsky.com, and there's descriptions of all of my programs and women's circles and witches' circles and all of that on there.
Is it all in person, or do you do anything online?
I do have an online course that's a companion course for the book, and then I do offer, just in autumn and in spring, I offer online sessions, the Witching Moon sessions, so they're on there also.
Okay, great, so people can check that out. And otherwise, you're in the Philadelphia mm-hmm. area, so if people are in that area and want to find out more what's happening there, check out our website. Okay, so we mentioned you that about the information you have in your book about clearing energy in your home. And I think that's also a nice thing to, you know, you like to come into a home that feels like good energy, you know, and you can feel when you go to other people's homes, like when the energy's good, or you feel kind of like, oh, I mean, what's going on here? It's a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's probably the number one question that I've gotten that's like witch related is how do I do space clearing? So I put it in the book because it is important. should I walk everybody
yeah.
through it?
Sure.
Okay. So the first thing, there's a little bit of prep involved. So you really want the home to be as decluttered as possible, which I know is a challenge. but it works really nicely if you're moving into a new space. So before you put all of your furniture and boxes in there, if you can clear the energy before all of that goes in there, that's best. But even if not, you know, try to straighten up a little bit. And then you want to start as high up as you can. So if you have an attic, you start in the attic. And you want to try to open at least one window on every floor, or ideally in every room, if every room has windows. So you're opening up, you're letting some air in. So if it's winter and it's cold, that's another thing that you have to deal with. So I try to do space clearing once per season. And in winter, it is usually freezing. So you start high, the windows are open, it's as decluttered as possible. And then I use a white candle and I put it in the center of the room, right? And then you can have sage or Palo Santo or OSHA root, some kind of clearing herb burning, but you don't have to. So a white candle, you start at the center of the room and you move counterclockwise, kind of spiraling out from the center of the room where you've put this white candle. So if you can picture that, you're kind of spiraling out slowly from the white candle at the center of the room and you're moving toward the walls. And as you're spiraling out, your intention is to push the stagnant energy away. So as you approach things like cabinets or closets, you do want to either clap or ring a bell or do something in those spaces where you can break up whatever stagnant energy might be in there. And you go all the way around and then you come back to the center. And then this time you move clockwise. And as you move clockwise, you are bringing the good energy. So some people like to work with a mantra at that point where, you know, you're bringing love and light or something like that, or some kind of a nicer mantra. So the first time around, counterclockwise, intention is to push away stagnant energy or clear. Second time, clockwise, intention is to bring love and light. You start high and then you slowly move down. You have to kind of work with the transitional spaces like hallways or you know, foyers or something like that. You really have to get creative sometimes on how to work your way through those. But you start high and you move low, and you can put salt along the doorways and windows for extra protection. You could also use garlic if you wanted. If you're okay with the way that smells, but that's a protecting herb also. And some people also put sage sticks near the windows or the doorways. But doing that once per season, it really does clear up whatever's been left there from the season before, from the guests that you've had in your house that maybe brought less than positive energy, from any, you know, communication that just felt bad. All of that can get stuck there. So so space clearing is a really good practice to take on.
Yeah, I'm looking in some of my rooms and going, well, I can't walk around in a circle.
Yeah,
you know, where things are.
I crawl,
you know,
over a lot.
Oh, so there you go. Okay, so I know this is described in your book, so people can go check that out too, you know, because, and they can always go back and listen to this. It's in the archives, so if you want to hear this again because you didn't get to write it down, it's usually up on the website for the transformationradio.fm the next day. So you can check that out. So now also one of the things that you work with is the moon. And I know you talk about that in your book, and what's a simple ritual for listeners to do at home to awaken their wild woman spirituality, with the cycles of the moon?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, it can get kind of fluffy sounding, you know, wild women and talking about the moon, but it really is a powerful force because it mirrors the cyclical feminine. So, you know, my first really powerful, like, witchy experience was as a teenager staring at the full moon, and I was having kind of a dark night of the soul moment. And my family was driving me crazy, and I just, like, you know, one of those teenage angsty moments. And it felt like very maternal, like I was, you know, being held by this kind of full moon force. So there is something holy about the moon. And I don't think that you have to, you know, claim that it's part of your religion or your spirituality in order to honor this lunar energy that is feminine, because I think that we all kind of have that sense of homecoming when we work with it. So because we're in a waxing moon cycle, a full moon spell, and I'm trying to think of when the full moon is coming up. I believe it's September 6th in the northern. Yes, September 6th. So a full moon spell would be great for manifestation. And so what you might do is think about what you really want for the autumn season. So the harvest moon is kind of the first of the autumn moons. So, like, what is the next chapter of your life? And then what is, like, the one pivotal scene in that chapter that really embodies this whole harvest moon or autumn chapter? And really get that, like, laser-focused intention. Like, what are you doing in that pivotal scene? Who are you with? What do you hear? What do you smell? All of that. And see if you can really be there with all of your senses. If you feel drawn to actually writing it down, if you're a writer, that can work really well because all of your energy goes into the writing. You could also create a piece of art or a spell bag or something like that. Spell bag meaning, you know, a bag that has symbols of that intention in there. And then you can, if it's in your practice to cast a circle, you could cast a circle. I have it described in my book, How to Cast a Circle. A circle is really just an energetic container for holding the energy. And it's not completely necessary. So if that feels weird to you, you know, calling to the directions in order to cast a circle, you don't need to necessarily. So your manifestation spell, you just have to try to, you know, raise energy in whatever way feels right. So creative work, dancing, you could have a mantra, like the mantra that I've been working with a lot lately is yes, thank you, more please. So if you have that intention of what you really want, just keep repeating, yes, thank you, more please. Yes, thank you, more please, for a while until you really feel like you've built up this energy, and then direct it toward that intention by holding that image of that pivotal scene of you really living your truth in the next chapter of your life. Direct all of that energy there. And then finally release it. So if you've created something, you've written something, you're going to, for a manifestation spell, usually bury that or gift it to nature in some way, or you could keep it on your altar until the new moon if you wanted. But the point is that you then release all of that magic once you've raised it and directed it toward that thing that you want. Then you have to let it go and be at peace.
Mm-hmm. And so let it good happen. So a good time is full moon to do the kind of manifestation rituals.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, did
I
you
was
want
to say, yeah, like another really powerful piece of that is, even though, you know, we're talking about things that are personal, like things that you want for in your personal life, it's good if you can connect those things to the bigger picture. Like what are those values in that thing you really want? And then what do they mean for the global community? And that makes it that much more meaningful.
Oh, that's an excellent point. Well, another thing that I want to talk about, and I know we just have a couple of minutes before we go on break, but you bring in about the divine masculine and feminine, and in this work, and where do men fit in this? In this, you know, because we're talking about woman spirituality, woman being a witch. Are there male witches? What's your take on?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's male witches. I think that the important piece is that it's more about the feminine than it is gender. So, you know, we all have these masculine and feminine energies in us. And so it's working with those and honoring that the feminine has been very much suppressed by patriarchal religion. So that's an important piece. And being able to, you know, empower the feminine. So meaning, you know, the earth and body, emotions, all of that. We have to empower that in our spiritual practice, regardless of what our gender is. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is not about gender. It's just that in your book, it's focusing on women's spirituality, so it's kind of written for women, but to recognize the divine masculine in us. And when we come back, I want you to, you have a story in your book about the marriage between the divine feminine and the divine masculine that's very interesting, and I'm going to have you share that when we come back from our break. And whatever else that we will get into a conversation about witches. Okay, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back and talk more with Danielle Dilsky, author of Woman Most Wild.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Live your magnificence, for the love of joy is a precious gift offered to us by Robert Schoenfeld, host of The Art of Powerful Living Radio. He takes us on an incredible 30-day adventure to expand our minds and hearts with the nectar of life, love, and joy. This book will help you bring more joy, love, health, abundance, adventure, romance, and magnificence into your life.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and we're talking about Woman Most Wild with author Danielle Dolsky. So, as I said, you have a story in your book about the marriage between the divine feminine and divine masculine. So I would love for the audience to hear that, because I think it's a very interesting perspective on that marriage.
Yeah. So it's not mine. It comes from Celtic tradition, this story, the traditional pagan myth of the Wheel of the Year. And you kind of have to get past the idea of God and goddess in terms of like a gender deity, but being more indicative of the feminine and masculine. So that's my little preface. So on the winter solstice, the goddess, which represents the feminine, gets pregnant, and it's immaculate conception, right? So she becomes pregnant, and she gives birth on the spring equinox, and then, so she becomes mother on spring equinox, and then, here's where the tricky part happens that you kind of have to wrap your head around. On the summer solstice, her son becomes the god who then becomes her husband or lover. Right. So her son becomes her husband or lover. So I know that that's the weird part, but that's the way it goes. So, and then in the summer, they have like this grand old time kind of, you know, frolicking, and all of nature is blooming all around them. And that's kind of the fruition peak of the year. And then around now, around the harvest moon, close to the autumnal equinox, the goddess realizes that the god is dying. And I feel like that's the most important piece, particularly for right now, because there is this kind of collective feminine grief that starts to affect people during autumn. And that's what it is. It's this, you know, the masculine is, you know, if maiden, mother, crone is feminine, the masculine is hunter, father, sage. So it's those parts of us that are very like virile and kind of in your face and individualistic, those parts of us that really want to like fragment and perceive time linearly. So all of that is kind of the aspects of the masculine that live within us. And that part of us starts to kind of wane around now. And then finally, the god in the pagan myth dies on Halloween. And the goddess is essentially on her own between, well, for all of November and the beginning of December up until winter solstice. So there is this kind of collective feminine mourning that starts to happen around now and really goes until winter solstice. And I feel like, you know, I tell that to people relatively often, because people do, you know, have this weird reaction to autumn sometimes. You know, it's this kind of period of letting go, and there's this kind of sadness that the days aren't warm anymore. But that's the pagan myth. So it's really, you know, realizing that the masculine is kind of waning as the veil starts to thin, and the psychic energy becomes more potent. Our intuition is heightened. It's important for ancestral communion and you know, remembering those in spirit, those that you've known, and those that are just in your bloodline. All of that becomes very important around now because of that collective feminine grief. That's kind of our support system.
Yeah, that's great. I love that story. So that leads me to the question of feminism, the role of feminism in witchcraft and wild woman spirituality. You know, then the word feminist has such also a negative connotation from the days in the 70s where it just came with anger. And so it was, you know, it was all this, oh, they hate men. And that still lingers, you know, people still have problems claiming that title.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, the link between feminism and witchcraft, it's everything. It is absolutely everything. You know, to be a feminist is to be against oppression in all of its forms. And I feel like if you are a witch, that is it. You are against oppression in every form. So you are an activist for the earth and for social justice and against racism. And you know, you're raising your voice, you're working your spells, not just for you, but for the wounded world. And that's such a huge, huge part of it right now. And it's why witches are so needed right now, because we do, you know, we do have so much power. And if we could like really unite and come together, that would be an amazing change agent. The witch is a change agent. But she's that much more powerful when she's with her circle. And feminism is everything.
Yeah, and too, I you know, that whole concept of the we're witnessing now, the oppression towards women is like, I think we know collectively now that this has got to stop. And we're seeing it rear its head, and it's like, oh no, again, still? And, you know, because it's still there. Things get, become aware of these things. It's like, it comes up because it's, has to be revealed or, you know, coming out of hiding to be healed. It has to show itself, its face, because it's been around. It's just been hidden, kind of. It's like things go underground and we think things are fine and we get a little complacent, like what happened? And it's like, no, it's still here. And so, yes, our work is even more urgent, and more are hearing that call, you know, to be active. And that leads back to the rituals of choosing what things you're passionate about, is to be active for the things that you're passionate about, whether it's for protecting the children or for education or for health or racism, whatever it is, to get active and to use your wild woman strengths, whether you believe in witchcraft or not, you know, it's using those gifts. So what is your last message that you want to leave our audience with? The most important single message about your book or whatever you want to leave us with.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with just a variation of what I said before. So you know, look at those moments when you really felt like you were the most you throughout your whole life. Look at them in terms of the seasons and see if you can trace the big changes, but also your passions and those moments. I call them Bhava moments, Bhava. So those moments, those feeling mind moments when your body, mind, and spirit were really yoked together in autumn, and then see if you can recreate some of those for yourself during this season of the veil thinning.
Yeah, so that relates to, and perhaps even looking at the grief. You talked about there's this grief that happens in the fall of, you know, like, you know, it's reflected in nature, you know, the garden, the plants are dying off, you know, after you pick the harvest. And so what is showing up in grief in yourself too?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like where, you know, autumn is the great exhale. So, you know, we are always letting go of something. And really, even though it's a time of grief and mourning, the feminine is pretty good at it. The feminine is good at releasing, letting go, you know, whether that's burning your whole life to the ground or just, you know, releasing something that's not serving you anymore. So, you know, it's that time versus spring when, you know, we're really good at manifesting something. And then solstice is when we're tasked to just kind of sit in fruition, which is more challenging than letting go, you know, sitting in gratitude for what you have. And then winter solstice is the great void when we're tasked to kind of sit in nothingness, which is challenging also. But right now, you know, it's the time of letting go. And we're, you know, women and the feminine are really skilled at that. You know, it's hard, it's sad sometimes, but we're good at it.
Yeah, it is hard. And it does bring up grief. Yeah. Letting go of things that have, well, and looking at what doesn't serve you anymore. To let go. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Danielle, and sharing your wise women wisdom.
Thank you, Chris.
So everybody, you can check her website out at DanielleDulsky.com and check out her book and what she has to offer. And I also want to announce, we're just, well, even less than a month away, about 4 weeks away from our big fundraiser for Women of Wisdom in Seattle. We're doing, it's called A Tree of Life, Celebrating Our Cultural Diversity. We have a Muslim woman speaker, Annalee F. Zaley, speaking on American and Muslim, a woman's experience. She's the founder and director of the American Muslim Empowerment Network. And also BJ Long from Australia, who does circle ritual. And you can look at our everything on our website at womanofwisdom.org. Just look for the benefit dinner and purchase tickets there and support Women of Wisdom on that September 18th. And also, I welcome you to check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Power in the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And it's all about the divine feminine and exploration of it with many different voices from art, poetry, stories, amazing speakers that have been at our conference every year. And so also check that out. It's available as a Kindle book with colored art. So we're at the end of our show. I hope everybody has a great weekend. And I actually will be in Kenya, and I have pre-recorded shows, so you'll still be hearing our shows every Friday at 1 o'clock. I've had some amazing authors on the show that you're going to be hearing in the next 3 weeks, so I hope you look forward to that and check them out. So, okay, it's time to say goodbye. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.